fiver, just making your way home. To you the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Labor Radio. Of the working class, for the working class, by the working class. I'm your host, Jamie Partridge. And we are joined live in the studio tonight by Aikisha Owens, president of the Workers Union at the Oregon Public Broadcasting, SEIU 503, sublocal 570. Good evening, Aikisha.
Hello, good evening, everyone.
And also here is Belinda Regan, president of the Portland Federation of School Professionals, AFT, that's American Federation of Teachers, Local 111. Thank you for joining us, Belinda.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
All right. So beginning with you, Aikisha, unionized workers make up many of the divisions of OPB, Oregon Public Broadcasting, including mail clerks, videographers, and tech support. OPB used to be owned by the and operated by the state. It's no longer part of the state government since 1993. And departments that were unionized with the SEIU remained so when the station became a privatized nonprofit. And currently you're in negotiations for a new contract which expires at the end of this month on the 31st. And so we met you, Aikisha, on the picket line in early December. So tell our listeners what's happening with negotiations and what about the management's unilateral moves to weaken the union?
Well, yes. Well, thank you for your support for meeting me out there on the picket line. We did have that in early December, and that was to get some proposals that have since been withdrawn. But those proposals pretty much withdrawal. They erased the company from collecting information and passing it on to the union. So that would be our dues, names, members. All pretty much all information. So it would be make it very difficult for SEIU to represent us. And then also they were trying to eliminate some of the salary and pay ranges that we were entitled to that was already in our current contract. Now that contract had expired, but they were trying to remove that language instead of moving forward with that in our negotiations.
So they were trying to withhold information from you about who the employees were that you were required to represent and withholding dues deduction, which you had all in place prior.
That is correct. That was part of the proposal that was asked about, and that was the primary focus for our picket.
Yeah. So, and then also completely changing the salary schedule and like everything's up for grabs. And
well, yeah, that would give us pretty much remove rights for us to bargain over pretty much our salaries.
Remove the right to bargain over your salary.
Well, the salary, the way that our appendix works is that we kind of have a salary schedule set up there. So the way that the proposal was brought forth, it would just put us pretty much in line, was meant to put us pretty much in line with union members to non-union members. So, which means that union members currently we get to bargain over our salary and non-union members do not.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, what happened to make them change their mind about these serious like union busting moves on the part of management?
Well, we have reached out to some of the board members, and we had that picket, and we were able to get those actual proposals withdrawn from the table, and pretty much that has definitely moved forward our progress with getting an agreement.
All right. So I was out on the picket line there. There was a few dozen folks from the OPP workforce, and then a bunch of allies from other unions and from other SEIU locals.
Yes, definitely. I mean, we are smaller, but we also, because we have people who are editors, reporters, or photographers, sometimes they're not all able to be in one place at one time. So we definitely had a great turnout, and we appreciate everybody coming.
So how have your members been responding to all these management actions, and what are you putting on the table right now? What are you pushing for?
Well, what we're pushing for tentatively, that is pretty much kind of hopefully in progress here to be hopefully a finalized agreement. But what we're pretty much on the table is we're trying to get all of our wages, our increase. Right now, in our old contract, we had a 1% guarantee of a wage increase. And we're asking now for something above the cost of living. Cost of living was 3.59.
Yeah, really?
And so we've put across the table to ask for 4%. This is hopefully help make up too for some of the times that people have not gotten cost of living raises.
And are there other issues that are burning for your members right now?
Definitely. I mean, definitely when you bargain, we have a lot of issues that we put on the table that you bargain back and forth. Primarily, we were able to remove some, ask for some removal of some some health care issues. We didn't get everything around health care, but we did get some things where people were able to, our full-time employees used to be, if they missed a day or two, I shouldn't say a day or two, but if they missed time, I shouldn't say that because I don't know the approximate time, amount of time, you would have a proration of your actual cost of health care. And we've kind of been able to ask for that to be removed. So that's kind of a good thing there, because that's definitely, you know, unfortunate if you have to be off work and then, you know, have a higher expense cost for health care.
So if you're off work, you would have higher expense for health care.
If you don't have any, and like I said, it's kind of thorough, but in the short sense, if you didn't have an unpaid time, amount of time taken off, yes, our full-time employees actually had a clause in there where they would get a prorated health care cost. And so we are just wanted that removed. If you're full-time, you're full-time, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. you get the cost of health, of what they're giving for the health care.
So you have a end of the contract coming up on December 31st. Do you think you'll have an agreement by that time? What do you think?
We do think that. I mean, we've been definitely working forward and asking for, like I said, a lot of, those are kind of our more bigger things, but we definitely are working for some more smaller items. And we really think that we will have a contract actually by the 31st. Before then, I probably wouldn't have said that, but I do think now that we're pretty much in progress of being able to have that done.
Great. What are the other other aspects of the contract that you're focused on? What are the working conditions or other benefits? Or?
I mean, definitely salary ranges. I mean, one of the things that we put out that was part of our process was a market study about what we are getting paid and if we're getting paid the cost of living a rate. If our market is at the market rate of what Portland should be paying for your job. Mm-hmm. So we're definitely working on things like that to make sure that our workers are definitely just salary-wise, we're keeping up with the pace with Portland and what Portland workers are making. That's definitely a big topic with us for that area. And our classifications, definitely a big topic is what we were picketing for too, is making sure that people can be represented. So a lot of workers want to make sure that their classification or their worker's position is continuously, you know, covered in the union spotlight. So
what are your next steps to get what you need? What are your do you have any other actions planned, or are your members at the bargaining table with you, or?
We did actually have members come while we were bargaining, and we currently right now, because it's the holiday season, we have kind of a tentative agreement, so that right now we're not actually sitting at the table. That's why we think possibly something might happen where both sides agree to some of the things that we've demanded. Mm-hmm. So, and I think that there's been some consensus on that, but yes, we definitely had many workers come in during our bargaining and let them, you know, to express, you know, what being in the union means, also being what this contract means and things like that. So just to kind of show the company that their support.
Mm-hmm. That can be quite convincing, and rather than just the lawyers and the legalese, but
yeah, yeah.
Actually, the members coming straight across. Well, great. How can our listeners assist you in your cause, or follow what's going on?
Well, so for following, we did during this thing do the Facebook page and website, and it's an SEIU local. We're 570 of the local SEIU OPB broadcasting. So also definitely I'd like for people to just let, if you know, with any time you're supporting or doing anything with a board member, if you see anything, just let them know that you do support union workers. We're so small, you know, just kind of a small union. So I'm really trying to also let people know about the union that OPB has, because a lot of people don't realize that we actually have one. So it's... you know, I just really would like people to be able to let them know how important that is, that OPB can say that they have a union and then, you know, provide support to those workers.
So is OPB doing a like a end of the year fundraising for the station? I know they're often doing fundraising on the air. It would help, I imagine, if people who are contributing to OPB also put in a message about support for the union, right?
Definitely. That's what we, you know, would like people to do, if they, you know, let them know about their support and do that. And yeah, usually at the end of the year, I think this year it's a radio, sometimes it's TV, but yeah, we usually are doing some type of fundraising.
So anything else you want to say to our listeners before we go to a break?
I just actually just want to thank everybody. I mean, I think that, one, for you guys having me here, but two, just for, I mean, you know, just for everyone that has supported OPB, just to know about the workers and our support that we need. So I just want people to know about our website, SEIU Local 570 OPB Broadcasting, and then for our Facebook, and then just to make sure that they let people know that, you know, we're trying to support union workers.
All right. Thank you, Aikisha Owens. If you just tuned in, this is Labor Radio on KBOO Portland. You've been listening to Aikisha Owens, president of the Oregon Public Broadcasting Workers Union, SEIU 503 Sublocal 570. Next up is Belinda Regan, president of the Portland Federation of School Professionals, who represents workers at Portland Public Schools, including about 1,400 support staff at Portland Public Schools, special ed, paraeducators, classroom education assistants, school secretaries, and close to 60 other occupational classifications. 2019 is the 100th anniversary of the founding of this AFT local, the American Federation of Teachers Local 111, the first established west of the Mississippi. So, Belinda, how is it that your local in little old Portland, Oregon, was the first American Federation of Teachers local established west of the Mississippi?
Well, thanks, Jamie. I have a bit of history about this. It was a group of teachers originally out of Benson High School here in Portland who decided they wanted to form a union, and they named themselves the Portland Federation of Teachers. They wanted to be part of the American Federation of Teachers as opposed to NEA, the National Education Association, because NEA also represented management. So they decided to form this union. It was in September of 1919 that the charter was signed by the president of AFT, and they were the 111th charter. All others were on the East Coast and in the Midwest. And so we're very proud of the fact that this is our 100th year and that we represent AFT in Oregon.
Of course, 1919 was a tremendous year for labor activity in general.
Yes.
And here in the Pacific Northwest, folks may know that 1919 was the year of the Seattle General Strike. As well, there were all kinds of actions happening in the woods and in the mills at that time. So it certainly makes sense that then in the schools people would be deciding, hey, it's our time as well, huh?
I'm sure that had something to do with it. They were wanting to be represented and helped along having the rights.
When was the AFT established? I mean, the big union. How many years before that? Do you know?
You know, I believe that it was just a few years before that. I want to say 1911. I'm not positive, but I think that was. And Chicago was the first AFT. Our friends at the with the Chicago teachers who have struggled and with their rights. Certainly, we all are support them in everything that they do.
Mm-hmm.
And New York was number two. Philadelphia was three. So
right.
It took another 108 before it got to us and went west of the Mississippi.
Got it. Yeah. Well, so give us some of the highlights of this local, this 100-year history.
Well, we have been very happy with our current contract, which we just settled a few months ago. We've struggled over the years with contracting with the district. You know, it depends on the season and who they bring in to bargain with us. And we actually feel like in honor of our 100th year, we did quite well this year. So that's been a real happy point for us in celebration this year. Throughout the years, though, since it was chartered in 1919, it's gone through several sort of metamorphoses. We were the Portland Federation of Teachers. Later, it became the Portland Federation of Teachers and Classified Employees.
Mm-hmm.
And we then represented teachers and support staff. And then in the early 70s, PAT in Portland, the Portland Association of Teachers, formed. And the teachers moved into PAT from our bargaining unit. We continued to represent quite a number of teachers until the last one retired about 8 or 9 years ago.
Interesting.
So there were some who would not give up their membership to PFTCE, which is what we were at the time.
Yes.
After that last teacher left and retired, we then worked over a period of about a year and a half to change our name to the Portland Federation of School Professionals, since we no longer represented any teachers.
It's so interesting, the whole dynamic between American Federation of Teachers and the National Education Association. And for many years, the AFT was the militant union, the union that was willing to strike, that was, you know, set out the lines between the workers and management. And then because of the upsurge of public sector militancy and unionism in the late 60s and 70s, and, you know, particularly led by AFT locals and the New York local, NEA changed. NEA got religion, and they got...
They're very powerful.
And they got... they basically kicked out the administrators and became a more of a militant union, and that's what happened in Portland as well, apparently.
Right.
Yeah.
And in 1998, there was an attempt to merge... AFT.
I remember that. Yeah.
And NEA, which failed.
That was too bad.
Yeah, it is unfortunate because what a strong position we would have if.
But
if
in some cities like Los Angeles, they have merged locals.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's not uncommon in a lot of cities to see them working together, which we really like. Mm-hmm. But you know, there's been conversations locally, even of, you know, at the state level of. Doing that, but it has never happened. And AFT in Oregon is not as strong as OEA is. They only represent higher ed teaching groups and a few classified folks. We're big for our state. We appreciate that we have 21 locals in our state federation, but it's not as strong numbers, obviously, as OEA is.
Mm-hmm. So. And AFT has also branched out to include nurses.
Yes, right. We have the OFNHP and ONA, which are part of AFT National,
right,
but not part of AFT Oregon.
Right. Mm-hmm. So tell us a little bit about the ups and downs since you've been in the leadership of PFSP. Did I get that right?
You did. You did. When I started, it was PFTCE, and it's PFSB now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what kind of struggles have you all been through?
Well, obviously, you know, public employees unions have just been under attack incessantly. It's and our current administration in Washington is no different.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had some years of mild luxury that are gone right now. And certainly what our Supreme Court chose to do with Janus versus AFSCME a year ago in June of 2018 was devastating for us, as it
has been. Can you explain to our listeners who may not know what, mm-hmm. what that Supreme Court
yes,
decision was?
Absolutely. The Supreme Court decided in favor of a claimant who felt that it was against his First Amendment rights, to violating his First Amendment rights, to force him to pay what is called fair share fee rather than dues. And if you chose not to be a member of a public employee union, you could still be required to pay fair share fees. And by finding in favor of him, the fair share fees were dropped, and we no longer collect fees from those who are not members. Unfortunately, we are still required, I shouldn't say unfortunately, perhaps, because they are still represented by the union. So when there are meetings or there are issues for these employees who choose not to support the union that supports them, we still must go to meetings, help them, and I'm always happy to do it.
So if they're disciplined or removed, you have to represent them.
Absolutely.
If
it's our obligation to grieve for them.
Negotiating for a salary raise or better benefits or better working conditions, it's on their behalf.
Yes, absolutely.
But they don't have to pay.
No, they pay nothing towards maintaining the union, which mm-hmm. In our case, of course, you know, there's expenses. We have two and a half full-time staff. Mm-hmm. Almost three, and you know, office buildings and so forth. But yes, we bargain for them. We make sure that they get all the same rights that a member does.
Huh.
But the advantage to me of membership is that it gives us strength. It shows the employer that we are strong and that we are in control, and that's really key to me, and I hope mm-hmm. that people understand that.
Yeah, I noticed that there was a report in the news just recently about the impact of the Janus decision on other public sector unions, AFSCME and SEIU, which represent state workers. I think they said that AFSCME had 80% of the workforce in the union and SEIU 70%. I'm in an open shop union, the letter carriers union, but we've always, I mean, Nat Janus, we've always been open shop, and there was never any fair share fees, but partly because management is so terrible, we have in Portland, our branch is 97%.
Wow,
organized.
Good for you.
And nationally,
congratulations.
Nationally, we're 92%, which means that we're able to support three full-time officers, you
yeah.
know, for our local, which is a similar size to
mm-hmm.
yours.
That's great.
But you're in a much more difficult situation. I imagine you're around the 70% mark.
We run
too,
around
right?
70 right now.
Yeah.
We represent so many part-time people
mm-hmm.
that those are difficult folks to
oh,
bring
yeah.
in. They're not making a lot of money.
Sure.
And it's hard to pay union dues, and I understand that. I would certainly never feel that they should have to if it means not having a meal on
right.
the table,
which
or paying for a tank of gas to get to work.
Well, paying rent. I mean, rent
that's
is
right.
so difficult
Absolutely.
In this town now.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So
yes.
we do see that. We have some very low-paid employees in mm-hmm. the school district. Our EAs, our ESL EAs, paid very lowly, and which is unfortunate because they work with our children.
Of course.
And really should be treated differently,
and
I
you
believe.
Said you, but recently you had a membership drive and were quite successful, which
well,
I suppose.
Well, we actually organize year round. I wouldn't call it so much a drive as just working all the time to bring in new members. And over this year, and since the beginning of this school year, and during the last school year, we have garnered about 340 new members. Bringing them into the fold, which is terrific for us.
I imagine that had something to do with your decent contract this time around.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We had pretty standard wage increases, but
mm-hmm.
And our benefits are always good.
Mm-hmm.
But we were able to get some really great things in our contract, like stipend stipends for those who use a second language in their work daily.
Oh, good.
And that was very, very important. Also to get credit for having degrees that have been earned since being employed by the school district, which they never acknowledged in the past. So a career ladder, basically. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are an educational institution. You want people to be educated. So it's really great that they've done that. We worked very hard this time on our contract. I do think people are very happy with it.
And you just wrapped up a contract?
It's been a few months. It actually retro back to July 1st. Mm-hmm. We settled it though in the late summer. So
looking forward, what are the main challenges facing your union, facing your members?
I would say Janus is still the most difficult thing facing us. We have, because we are the classified employees of the district, we are the first to be laid off every spring in order to save teaching jobs, which is important, obviously. I think everyone needs to know, though, how incredibly important support staff is. The teachers certainly understand how the people in their classrooms help. We manage all the school offices. We are campus security. We are the OTs and PTs, physical therapists, occupational therapists, sign language interpreters. As you said, we have 60-some classifications that we mm-hmm. represent. So we like to think of ourselves as the backbone of Portland Public Schools.
So how did the Student Success Act, which passed the legislature last time around, mm-hmm. how did that affect your members?
We don't know yet.
Oh, you don't know
we've
yet.
Done the school district's done its dutiful surveying mm-hmm. and done outreach to all membership, to all bargaining units, and to all employees to get opinions, fill out surveys, but we have not seen how it's going to directly affect our folks. We're hoping we'll see more classroom help.
So you're hoping that more folks will be hired on?
Absolutely, or increased hours.
Yeah,
we've had our school secretaries. We have principal secretaries full-time. Our school secretaries in most schools have been reduced to half-time. We'd like to see them return to full-time.
Really?
Yeah, it's very difficult to run a school with just one full-time secretary.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I remember mm-hmm. as a parent really needing to connect with school secretaries
absolutely.
Before school and after
yeah,
school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough, so. And we'd like to see more EAs, too, in the classroom
mm-hmm.
for assisting teachers.
Yeah. Well, the big struggle always for teachers is what we call class size, but it's really student-to-teacher ratio.
It
and
is.
If you can get more education assistance in a classroom,
student management's important, you know,
huge
to
difference.
Function well in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. So how can our listeners keep informed about the struggles of educators and education workers at Portland Public Schools?
I think in general, they need to obviously continue to support levies and helping to finance the district when it's necessary. Mm-hmm. I know there are many who feel the district uses a lot of money, you know, but it costs a lot of money to educate kids. And I do think, too, that just giving their general support to both teachers and classified staff, knowing that the schools don't run just with teachers, they do have to have the support of others as well. So we really would appreciate everybody knowing that we all have a hand in this.
So are you familiar with what's happening with the SEIU union, which represents custodians and food service workers?
Yes,
you know
I do
them?
Talk with them, and so I have heard that I know that they're struggling.
Are they in
through bargaining? They're bargaining right now.
Mm-hmm.
DCU just finished bargaining, the District Council of Unions, which mm-hmm. covers our maintenance workers.
Oh, okay.
And SEIU is still bargaining right now. The Labor Relations Director has just resigned. She will be leaving Carol Hawkins. Mm-hmm. She's been wonderful to work with. She is leaving in mid-January. We're very sorry to hear that. But I'm sure it will affect their bargaining as well as it continues.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So do you all have a Facebook page or website?
We do. It's very inactive, though, because we have Facebook. We do try to keep it up to date. Our website, though, we are not we're not terribly IT-oriented.
What's your Facebook
office.
Name?
It's under PFSP, Portland Federation of School Professionals.
Okay. Great. Well, that wraps it up for tonight's Labor Radio.
Thank you for having us.
Of course, this Monday, every Monday at 6 p.m., you've been listening to Belinda Regan, president of the Portland Federation of School Professionals, and Aikisha Owens, president of Oregon Public Broadcasting Workers Union. And thanks to our engineer, Selena. Stay tuned for Prison Pipeline.
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the SJAC Holiday Fundraiser and Open Hours Launch Party on Sunday, December 29th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Social Justice Action Center in Portland. The Social Justice Action Center provides community space, access to a commercial kitchen, and now new open hours. The launch party will provide information about new programs, opportunities to volunteer, and more. Again, that's the SJAC Holiday Fundraiser and Open Hours Launch Party on Sunday, December 29th at the Social Justice Action Center, 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Baby, you understand me now.
Good. Hello. Welcome to Prison Pipeline. My name is Emma. I use she and her pronouns.
Hi, greetings and welcome. My name is Adam Carpinelli. Your hostess is with the mostesses and happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Happy Hanukkah.
Happy everything.
Yeah. Happy Kwanzaa.
Kwanzaa.
It's everything right now.
New Year.
This is our special shout out to all you folks who are inside right now. We just